you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to the book of Romans. We're in chapter 11. And as we've said repeatedly, Romans 9 through 11 is a unit, and we need to see Romans 11 in the context of what Paul is saying in these three chapters woven together. Romans chapter 11, the question in this section concerns the sovereignty of God, and the question at the start of this chapter is one that has echoing the two previous chapters, and that is, what about the Jews? So we go back and we look in chapter 9, verses 1 through 8, and we see that this theme holds these together. Romans 9, 1 through 8, I'm going to read that first before we go to chapter 11. "Now I speak the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. My conscience confirms in the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, those of my own race, the people of Israel. Theirs is the adoption as sons. Theirs the divine glory, the covenants, the receiving of the law, the temple worship, and the promises. Theirs are the patriarchs, and from them is traced the human ancestry of Christ, who is God over all. Forever praised. Amen. It is not as though God's word had failed, for not all who are descended from Israel are Israel, nor because they are his descendants are they all Abraham's children. On the contrary, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. In other words, it is not the natural children who are God's children, but it is the children of the promise who are regarded as Abraham's offspring." Look at verse 16 in chapter 9. "It does not therefore depend on man's desire or effort, but on God's mercy." Salvation does not depend on man's desire or effort, but on God's mercy. Look at verse 18. "Therefore God has mercy on whom he wants to have mercy, and he hardens whom he wants to harden." Chapter 10 starts out again. He's still burdened for the Jews, verses 1 through 3. "Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved. For I can testify about them that they are zealous for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge. Since they did not know the righteousness that comes from God and sought to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness." Look at verses 16 through 21 of chapter 10. "But not all the Israelites accepted the good news. For Isaiah says, 'Lord, who has believed our message?' Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. But I ask, did they not hear? Of course they did. Their voice has gone out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. Again, I ask, did Israel not understand? First, Moses says, 'I will make you envious by those who are not a nation. I will make you angry by a nation that has no understanding.' And Isaiah boldly says, 'I was found by those who did not seek me. I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me.' But concerning Israel, he says, 'All day long, I have held out my hands to a disobedient and obstinate people.'" Now, chapter 11, hear the word of the Lord. "I ask then, did God reject his people? By no means. I am an Israelite myself, a descendant of Abraham, from the tribe of Benjamin. God did not reject his people whom he foreknew. Don't you know what the scripture says in the passage about Elijah? How he appealed to God against Israel. Lord, they have killed your prophets and torn down your altars. I am the only one left and they are trying to kill me. And what was God's answer to him? I have reserved for myself 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to Baal. So too, at the present time, there is a remnant chosen by grace. And if by grace, then it is no longer by works. If it were, grace would no longer be grace. What then? What Israel sought so earnestly, it did not obtain, but the elect did. The others were hardened, as it is written. God gave them a spirit of stupor, eyes so that they could not see, and ears so that they could not hear, to this very day. And David says, may their table become a snare and a trap, a stumbling block and a retribution for them. May their eyes be darkened so they cannot see, and their backs be bent forever. Again, I ask, did they stumble so as to fall beyond recovery? Not at all. Rather, because of their transgression, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make Israel envious. But if their transgression means riches for the world, and their loss means riches for the Gentiles, how much greater riches will their fullness bring? I'm talking to you Gentiles. Inasmuch as I am the apostle to the Gentiles, I make much of my ministry in the hope that I may somehow arouse my own people to envy and save some of them. For if their rejection is the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? If the part of the dough offered as first fruits is holy, then the whole batch is holy. If the root is holy, so are the branches. If some of the branches have been broken off, and you, though a wild olive shoot, have been grafted in among the others, and now share in the nourishing sap from the olive root, do not boast over those branches. If you do, consider this. You do not support the root, but the root supports you. You will say then, branches were broken off so that I could be grafted in. Granted. But they were broken off because of unbelief. And you stand by faith. Do not be arrogant, but be afraid. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you either. Consider, therefore, the kindness and sternness of God. Sternness to those who fell, but kindness to you, provided that you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. And if they do not persist in unbelief, they will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. After all, if you were cut out of an olive tree that is wild by nature and contrary to nature were grafted into a cultivated olive tree, how much more readily will these, the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? I do not want you to be ignorant of this mystery, brothers, so that you may not be conceited. Israel has experienced a hardening in part until the full number of the Gentiles has come in. And so all Israel will be saved. As it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion. He will turn godlessness away from Jacob. And this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. As far as the gospel is concerned, they are enemies on your account. But as far as election is concerned, they are loved on account of the patriarchs. For God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. Just as you, who were at one time disobedient to God, have now received mercy as a result of their disobedience, so they too have now become disobedient in order that they too may now receive mercy as a result of God's mercy to you. For God has bound all men over to disobedience so that he may have mercy on them all. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. So, now we look at chapter 11. What about the Jews? Did God reject his people? That's the question he starts with here. Did God reject his people? By no means. By no means. I am an Israelite myself, a descendant of Abraham from the tribe of Benjamin. God did not reject his people whom he foreknew. There are Jewish people, many, many Jewish people, who think that Christianity is somehow a Gentile thing. It's not. We worship a Jewish Messiah. There are horrible examples down through history of anti-Semitic people who claimed to be Christians. People who hated Jews and did so in the name of the church, in the name of Christ, in the name of Christianity. To many Jews living in the 1930s and the 1940s, and sadly, in the generation since, Adolf Hitler was a Christian. Adolf Hitler was no Christian at all. He was an occultist. He was a demoniac. But Hitler was able to reach back into some of the things that Martin Luther said toward the end of his life and use them as a weapon against the Jews and as a way of rallying the German people who called themselves Christian in persecuting the Jews. Horrible. But what is not understood by many outside the church is sadly not understood by many inside the church. A lot of people think that if you believe certain things and do certain things, that makes you a Christian. It doesn't. Being a Christian is about a new life. It's about having a relationship with God himself through faith in Jesus Christ. It's about having your sins completely blotted out and receiving him so that through his power, you are able to live a life that pleases God. So, it's not a language thing. It's not a national thing. It's about a relationship with Jesus. And Paul says, God certainly has not forsaken his people. He hasn't rejected them. I'm a Jew. That's Paul's testimony. Did God reject the Jews? Paul says, what are you talking about? I'm from the tribe of Benjamin. I'm a Jew. Okay? God hasn't rejected the Jews. And he goes on to say something that, again, ties all of this together. God did not reject his people whom he foreknew. Whom he foreknew. Now we're reaching back into chapter 8. Prior to chapter 9, Paul has outlined how salvation is of God from first to last. God knew his children relationally before he made the world. How's that possible? Because he's God. And he's not making this stuff up as he goes along. God's not waiting to see what we're going to do so that he can decide what he's going to do. God has authored the plan of salvation, and he is the one who brings it about.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan.
You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, God has not rejected his people, but it's always been a remnant chosen by grace. Verses 5 through 7, look again. So too, at the present time, there is a remnant chosen by grace. And if by grace, then it is no longer by works. If it were, grace would no longer be grace. What then? What Israel sought so earnestly, it did not obtain. But the elect did. The others were hardened. The elect did. Now, there are people who listen to my messages. Probably not you all. You listen, but you're not going to be this next phrase. And they get angry. Some of them, instead of getting angry, just get crushed. So disappointed. Because it sounds as if Pastor Wood is saying that God has chosen those whom he will save. Pastor Wood is not saying that. God is saying that. That's not something I made up. It's what we just read in God's holy word. Pastor, what are you saying, that anybody who doesn't believe what you believe just doesn't believe the Bible? They believe other parts of the Bible. I'm not saying they've abandoned the faith. What I'm saying is this truth absolutely slices and dices our flesh and our pride. And therefore, it is very unappealing to many people. Because it makes it sound as if salvation is entirely God's doing. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And therefore, there's no room for boasting except in him. We can say how great he is, but we can't feel that somehow we are more deserving than other people. We're better than those people. We are the good folks. No. We are the sinners who have been saved by God's grace. And therefore, we have no reason and no excuse for looking down on others. None. It has always been a remnant chosen by grace. Okay, but get back to that first question. What about the Jews? Can they, as a people, still be brought to faith? The elect can and will. Well, but doesn't it say all Israel will be saved? Yes, it does. So does that mean if there are two plans of salvation? One is for the Gentiles. You got to come through faith in Jesus Christ. The other is lucky enough to be born Jewish. You know, I mean, because God, it says all Israel is going to be saved. So somehow God is just going to let them in on the basis of being Jewish. No. Not at all. Well, what are you saying? Do you remember chapter 9, verse 6? Take a look at it, please. It is not as though God's word had failed, for not all who are descended from Israel are Israel. Wow. Not all who are descended from Israel are Israel. Go back to chapter 2, verse 28. See what that says. 2, verse 28. A man is not a Jew if he is only one outwardly, nor is circumcision merely outward and physical. No, a man is a Jew if he's one inwardly, and circumcision is of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the written code. Such a man's praise is not from men, but from God. So when he says all Israel will be saved, what do you think maybe he's saying? I thought he was talking about the Jews. He is talking about the Jews. And he's saying all the elect who come by faith are saved. There's only one basis for salvation, and that is God's grace. And we receive God's grace through faith. Also, it's not looking good for a lot of the Jews. It's not looking good for a lot of the Gentiles. You understand? But he says something here about a mystery he doesn't want us to be ignorant of. I know people who consider themselves evangelical scholars. I don't just know about them. I know them. I know these people. And they feel like God has just written off the Jews. You know, there's no longer any special plan for the Jews. Well, that's not what Paul says here. And here's what he says. God has a plan. And his plan is Israel, verse 25, has experienced a hardening in part until the full number of the Gentiles has come in. Did you hear that? Until the full number of the Gentiles has come in. God knows how many Gentiles are going to be saved. Just like God knows how many of his followers are going to be martyred for their faith. Read the book of Revelation. And God is in the process of saving Jews and Gentiles. And at some point, the last Gentile who's going to be saved will have been saved. And then something happens. The deliverer will come from Zion. He will turn godlessness away from Jacob. And this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. So is God going to have an end time harvest of Jewish people? Yes. And furthermore, it looks as if that may have already begun. There are more Jewish people being saved right now than at any point in history. And it's not just because the population of the earth is greater. That's one of the reasons. But the other reason is God is doing astounding things, just like he is moving by his Spirit among the followers of Islam. And people are seeing visions and being drawn to places where they'll hear the gospel. But God is also moving in Israel. And there are people who, despite what amounts to persecution that can come to them if, as Jews, they embrace Jesus as the Messiah, they're embracing Jesus as the Messiah. They believe it's true. Well, so you actually know some Jewish Christians? Some of my best friends who are radiant followers of Jesus were born Jewish, and then they became Christians. No, they were born Jewish, and then they became believers in Jesus as the Messiah. And some of them don't identify with the term Christian because it has so many negative connotations, like the confusion about Hitler being a Christian, which, I repeat, he was not. But let me tell you, they love Jesus. They're not thinking, oh, well, good, now we need to go back and really become Orthodox Jews and observe the law. No, if they're trusting in Jesus, they know what it says in his word, and that is that Christ has made an end to the law. We're not saved by what we do. We're saved by him, what he has done. And he paid the penalty for our forgiveness. He took the punishment, the wrath of God that we deserved. And now, because of what he has done for us, we have eternal life. So, Paul ends this section with what you might call a hallelujah breakdown. Okay? It's a doxology, a celebration of God's mercy and grace. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's That's pastorwood.org.